Did you know that the first citizen of Pakistan was actually a Hungarian Jew? You see, Leopold Weiss was born at the turn of the century in what was then in the Austro-Hungarian Empire, a descendant of a long line of Jewish rabbis. He was sent to a Jewish school and trained in the Hebrew language and studied the Jewish scriptures and religion. But at the age of 14, he began to question the ideas of the Jewish faith and their focus on being the chosen people of God, and he eventually escaped from the school and joined the Austrian army under a false name. Soon after, his father managed to track him down, and he was sent back to Vienna. But Leopold was fed up with his schooling, and he would never go back. For a time, he wandered spiritually, remaining agnostic in his faith. And eventually, when he turned 22, he was invited to stay in the house of his uncle in Jerusalem, back when Palestine was still under British control. And it was here that he found himself in shock by what he had found in the mostly Arab land. In all that he had been told and all that he had read, the Arabs were a Bedouin people who roamed the deserts in poverty, who followed a primitive religion and were aggressive to everyone else. And yet here in Jerusalem, the Arabs were civilized and sophisticated and lived in peace with their neighbors. Around this time, he began working for a German newspaper, publishing articles about his experiences in Jerusalem, and soon they commissioned him to travel throughout Palestine and the rest of the Muslim world to write on his travels and findings. During this time, he began to study the Palestinian culture and history, and soon this led him to research the Arab world and the Muslim world at large. All of a sudden, a new world had opened before his eyes. The entire history of Islam, from a seed in the deserts of Arabia, which had flourished and spread across the world. Civilization upon civilization, from Spain to India to China, all things he had never heard of before. He was amazed by the richness of Islam and the diversity of the Muslim world, but he was shocked at what they had become. Subjects of colonies and foreign powers, he became disheartened by what he had saw. But all that would soon change when he sat down with a local governor during his travels in Afghanistan. The ruler began sharing stories of Muslim civilizations of the past, and as Leopold sat there listening to him, he couldn't help notice the contrast between the Muslims then and now. And in a fit of rage, he began lambasting the governor. "And you are many, but your faith is small. How has it come about that you Muslims have lost your self-confidence? The self-confidence which once enabled you to spread your faith in less than 100 years from Arabia westward as far as the Atlantic and eastward deep into China. And now surrender yourselves so easily, so weakly, to the thoughts and customs of the West. Why can't you, whose forefathers illuminated the world with science and art at a time when Europe lay in deep barbarism and ignorance, summon forth the courage to go back to your own progressive, radiant faith?" When Leopold was done, the governor replied, "But you are Muslim." Leopold quickly denied him, but in that moment, something changed in his heart. And after a few months with the words of this Afghan governor having never left his mind, Leopold decided to take the step forward and convert to Islam. And by the way, if you want to support the channel and help me pay my editors, you can sign up for my Patreon, link in the YouTube video description or on my TikTok profile. Anyway, he soon changed his name to Muhammad Asad, and in 1927 he traveled to Saudi Arabia from Hajj. There he befriended King Abdulaziz and began working for him as a confidant, learning more about the ever-changing politics of the Muslim world, eager to help the Muslims gain independence from the colonial powers the best he could. Later, he traveled through North Africa and met Ahmed Sharif al-Sanusi and the legendary Umar al-Mukhtar, leaders of a group of freedom fighters struggling to defend Libya against an Italian invasion. After that, he traveled to India in 1932, where he met the great poet Allama Muhammad Iqbal, the spiritual father of Pakistan. Muhammad Iqbal managed to convince Asad to stay in India and help him fight for the rights of Muslims in a Hindu-majority state, and even, perhaps, a separate state of their own. That state would eventually become modern-day Pakistan and Bangladesh. It was now 1939, and World War II had just broken out. Back home in Austria, Asad's parents were arrested and killed by the Nazis. And here in India, the British arrested him, somehow thinking that he could be loyal to the Germans, and held them in prison and later house arrest until the end of the war. By now, the British Empire was a shell of its former self, and no longer capable or willing to hold on to India as a colony. Essed and many Muslim leaders had supported the idea of a separate state for Muslims, and eventually the British agreed. And in August of 1947, the British finally left, and Pakistan and India were now officially independent and separate countries. And in recognition for his support of Pakistan, Muhammad Essed was awarded the very first full citizenship by the new country of Pakistan. From there, Essed helped draft Pakistan's first constitution, and they began working on building ties with the other Muslim states, especially in the Middle East. And since he had deep connections with the royal family in Saudi Arabia, he was then sent on the first diplomatic mission to the Arabian Kingdom, where the government printed the very first Pakistani passport and issued it to him. And finally, in 1952, Essed was appointed Pakistan's ambassador to the United Nations. Soon after, though, Essed left politics to focus on writing. He authored many books on Islamic theories of politics and spent time writing translations of the Quran and Sahih al-Bukhari into English. And even though he was invited back into politics by future rulers in Pakistan, he preferred to remain in his home with his books till eventually he passed away in 1992. Who would have thought that a Hungarian Jew, descended from a long line of rabbis, would have become so influential to the lives of the Muslims living in South Asia? And for that, he would be given the very first citizenship and passport of the new Muslim country, Pakistan. Like if all for more, Muslim Facts.